Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
It's a beach day today in Shenzhen for me. It's Sunday morning as I take today's intro, and I'm bringing the family down to Damesha Beach. Yeah, I think you might have heard of that beach. It's one, I believe, that's in that viral photo of all the Chinese people crowded in a beach, and there's like no space for anybody to sit down, and there's like pushing and just insanity. So wish me luck. I am going to one of those viral photos of Chinese beaches. So don't laugh at me. I guess it's going to be good experience for the kids. And they're getting ready right now. So Global from Asia now is 1,000 days old. So boom, we're here almost 3 years old in October, and I'm excited and happy to have you guys all listening. So I get some great messages, and here's a cool email I got from a listener. It's from Nick Martin on July 19th at 7:33 p.m. Hong Kong time. He says, "Hi, Mike. Superb job with Global from Asia. You're a natural host, and guests like Julian Lee make each episode well worth a listen. I'd like to give you a referral on a possible guest for the show." Well, thank you, Nick, for listening. And yes, please send referrals, Nick, and anyone else. If you guys enjoy our show and think there's a guest that's worth coming on, I'd always really like to hear, especially from listeners, rather than just random cold emails of people emailing me to come on the show. So I would definitely love to have really, you know, cool guests that you guys think are worthy to be on our amazing show. So definitely keep them coming. And now for this week's show, we are going over to Philippines, talking about corporate setup and kind of taking a little bit of a break from Hong Kong and China. So let's go. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the Global from Asia podcast. We have a fun one today. David Elefant from Manila. He's a expert on company setup in Manila and Philippines, and I've met you many years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago in Manila. So thanks for coming on the show, David.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm happy to have you. And do you maybe want to introduce yourself to our listeners first?
I was living in Switzerland before coming to the Philippines 21 years ago, and I ended up coming here. I had Filipino friends in Switzerland, and I was invited to a Philippine Independence Day party, and I won a plane ticket to the Philippines. So I decided I got to check this out. I have no choice. And the economy was booming. That was way back in 95. And I decided, let's give it a try. And I've been here since.
Very cool. I didn't know that story. So that's cool. And the economy now is seems like it's booming to me. I mean, I'm not, obviously you're here on the ground but I mean, I've been hearing and things are developing. There's construction happening, you know, new housing. Is that correct? Or how do you feel about the economy here in the Philippines?
Well, yeah, the economy is growing mainly because of all the outsourcing happening to the country, though it's starting to slow down a little bit because of the lack of more qualified employees. So that's the part of the issue. Okay, you've got plenty of good English speakers here. The labor costs are low, but it's mainly related to the English because you do have, you know, in other Asian countries, lower labor costs than in the Philippines. But they don't have the English language. So that's their main advantage. And, you know, the population here is growing like crazy. So, yes, the real estate is booming, but I would say more than 50% of the sales are to foreigners or Filipinos living overseas, thinking that it might be a good investment. Now, there's quite a few buildings that are already completed, condos, but the luxury ones, I would say, yes, they're getting people to rent, but in the lower end studios or one bedrooms, there's just thousands of new units on the market, and those buildings are not filling up.
Okay. News to me. I think in China, there's similar things with the developing, you know, everybody getting so hot on real estate to just keep building and not thinking about who's going to move in there. So for you, you specialize with company setup in Manila or?
Yes. 99% of my clients are foreign companies wanting to set up their business in the Philippines. I have clients from all over the world. It could be from the US, Hong Kong, China, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Japan, Australia. My clients are coming from all over. Most of them are some kind of back office or outsourcing kind of business.
Got it. Yeah, so that leads to my next question. So for company setup, yeah, it's mostly for, like you've been mentioning in the interview already, it's for the outsourcing BPO type businesses?
Yeah. Well, once in a while, I do get somebody that wants to like sell something locally. But there's a lot of restrictions of foreign ownership. So outsourcing is considered an export business, so there's no restriction. But if you want to sell locally, then you have a lot of restrictions depending on the industry and also the amount of capital needed. For example, retail businesses are basically closed to foreigners. But if you want to sell wholesale, you can. And then you would need, if you want to own the majority of the business, to have a minimum paid in capital of $200,000.
Wow. Just for a retail store?
No, that's not for a retail store. That's for a wholesale business. Retail stores, there are laws on that, but it's just impossible to meet the requirements. So that's why I'm not even bothering saying that it's possible.
Crazy. Well, yeah, but you know, that basically what's the normal time frame people are looking at? Philippines and India are like the two top competing locations for outsourcing usually?
Yes, that's true. Here we've taken away most of the call center business, the voice business, because of the better accent here. And so that's why India's lost a lot of that business. But on the other side, things to do with like software development, India is still pretty strong. They people that graduate here in IT sector don't really have enough skills to work right away. They need extra training, and their really basic skills are just in PHP and JavaScript. You want them to do Ruby on Rails or Python or anything like that, you're going to have to train them. Or you're going to have to pay a lot of money to pirate somebody.
True. Yeah, I mean, it's always hard. I think globally, developers are just really hard to find. And the good ones are, yeah, like either really expensive or you can't find them anywhere. So,
well, really expensive here is still cheap for, say, the U.S.
True. I mean, I've heard stories where like a startup in Silicon Valley will just kind of like hire a whole outsourcing team, or like maybe even, you know, like poach them or take them away from that outsourcing company by, you know, doubling their salaries, and is still pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
All right. And so yeah, company setup, is it pretty complicated here for at least to do it as a foreigner? It's definitely different procedures, of course, foreign invested versus local companies. And we're going to focus on and most listeners are foreigners, non-local Filipinos. So,
yes, in a local company can be set up within a week. And after you have the registration of the company, you have to obtain local business permits. So local business permits can take 4 to 6 weeks. And that's if you don't do any renovations in your office or something that needs extra building permits, etc.
Got it. So that's a local business. I mean, I think for
any kind of business.
Oh, any kind of business. Got it.
Every business needs to have local business permits, whether they're for an export company. As soon as you have an office space with an address, you need to have your local business permits.
Got it. So then the banking is different too, or and banking seems to be a challenge from what I'm seeing in other regions. So
yeah, it's well, there are certain countries that are pretty bad in Southeast Asia also, but compared to Hong Kong, the Philippines loves paperwork because you also have monthly filings. As soon as you have the company up and running and you've registered with the Bureau of Internal Revenue, you have to do monthly filings. And the same for the employee's social charges, monthly filings. Then you have your annual audited financial statement. You have quarterly income tax returns to give. So if you're not going to have a substantial business out of here, you're going to have a lot of monthly maintenance expenses.
It makes sense. So are the, you know, are there differences in these? Probably are differences in different cities or regions of the Philippines? Like,
no, it's basically all the same. Even if you go for like what they call a Philippine economic zone, where you can get some tax incentives, they also give you a lot of extra paperwork. Even though you may not have to pay taxes on your business for a certain number of years, but you're still responsible for withholding tax on your employees' compensation. So in the end, it's still the same thing. You have the same monthly paperwork.
Makes sense. Oh. Well, so that's the main hiccup, or is...
And it's complicated because depending where you are in the country and how good their infrastructure is, you still have to do a lot of things manually. It's very little online. So, for example, you'll go to a government agency with a hard copy of the document. You stood in line there for a while. Then you go to the next line with the same document on a USB. And then you'll go to a third line or to a bank to make a payment. You could hire a full-time guy, say, as a messenger to just to stand in lines every month, because he'll end up spending 5 days in a line.
Yeah, it
makes agencies, you know.
Yeah, does that have to be the owner, or could it be the somebody?
Yeah, it can be anyone. Be anyone.
Okay. And then you were mentioning a little bit earlier, but kind of want to bring it up, is you said five people on as owners or board members or as locals?
The minimum by law for any kind of corporation is five directors. Each director must own one share in the company. Now, legally, if you're 100% foreign owned, those directors, you can lend them the share with a written agreement saying that you can, you know, get rid of them as director anytime, and you can transfer their share to wherever you like because they're holding it just to be a director and no other reason. So there's no issue on that. Thing is, though, three of the directors must be residents of the Philippines. They don't have to be Filipino citizens, but they have to have some kind of legal proof that they have a visa to live in the Philippines.
Got it. Interesting. Yeah, I thought I actually had to be local. That's news for me. And then, so a foreign company is there's capital. So for banking or money, an outsourcing company, I guess, is the most common. Is a high capital requirement? Or I guess it depends on how big your office or your company's going
to
be.
Yeah, I would say it's more on how much money you need to operate the business, because there's no minimum requirement for an outsourcing company. Unless you want to avail of tax incentives, then it falls under the Philippine Economic Zone Authority that has its own rules.
Okay.
And there you would need to have a minimum investment per seat. As of today, that would be $5,000 per seat. But that includes everything. I mean, it's, you know, furniture, software, computers, wiring, anything you do to set up the company, even working capital partially.
Makes sense. So maybe we could talk about a case study or an example of somebody you've worked with, or anonymously, and we don't have to go so personal, but maybe that would help some people understand more the process.
Yeah, no problem. Well, the process in the Philippines to incorporate is, first you reserve the name at the Securities and Exchange Commission. They have an online system, but you can't count on it. It doesn't work that well. It might say, yes, the name is reserved, that it's okay. And when you get there to pay for it, which you have to do in person, you find out, no, there's a bunch of other companies with similar names. So you have to find a different name. So that's the first hurdle, is finding a name that's acceptable. Once you have that, you still need to find an address, because in your articles of incorporation, you have to put a specific address. Or if you don't put a specific address and just use whoever will help you set up your company's address, you'll have to amend the articles of incorporation afterwards to meet that requirement of having the exact address in the articles of incorporation. Okay. So to move ahead, you need the names of the five directors. You need their copy of their passports if they're all foreigners, because you have to put in their passport details in the notarization part of the document. And then you decide on your authorized and subscribed and paid in capital, which does not have to be deposited in a bank till later on. For the case of an outsourcing company, there are certain kinds of businesses The Securities and Exchange Commission wants to make sure you have the necessary capital to run that business.
Makes sense. All right. And then when could somebody be up and operating pretty quickly then? I mean, like within a, you said like a week, so maybe they would get the office first and then a company or?
Well, usually what people do is they just give a deposit on the office so they're sure they have that address to be able to avoid having to amend the articles of incorporation. So once you have the certificate of incorporation, you can go to the bank, open your bank account, get an official lease under, you know, office lease under your company, etc. Because nobody will give you a lease or open a bank account if you don't have the papers from the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Makes sense. And then with bank accounts, do all the directors have to be there for the bank account?
No. What needs to be done is a board resolution and a secretary certificate. If you have five directors, a minimum of three of the directors need to sign the board resolution. Some banks want to see it, some don't. But most of the banks have their own format, and they want to see usually just the secretary certificate. Now, if it's done overseas, they want to have all the documents authenticated by the Philippines embassy. If it was done in the Philippines, there's no issue. The issue comes out with foreigners is lately they've wanted the foreign signatories to have an alien certificate of registration that proves they're a resident of the Philippines. They've become more difficult in the last couple of years about letting non-residents have bank accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like it's happening everywhere. And
but even though the company's registered in the Philippines, the signatory, they want the signatory also to be resident. The funny thing is, though, with the banks here, a lot of latitude is given to the branch managers. So if the branch manager wants to be nice, he won't ask for much in the way of documentation. He says, okay, you'll get your residence permit later, and he'll let you sign now and won't bother you about it. And you can't tell. It varies so much from bank to bank and branch to branch.
Interesting. I guess this is Asia, right? So maybe it's normal.
Yeah. I used to work with one bank a lot, and then the manager retired, and I can't use that branch anymore. Because they want too many things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nuts, right? I have a feeling it's going to get worse, but I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I've even had inquiries from law firms in Hong Kong saying, could you help us get bank accounts for a Hong Kong company?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy there. I know. I'm dealing with it real time. Banking is getting impossible, which is Hong Kong used to be like the best place in the world, one of the top places in the world for bank accounts. And now it's like the extreme opposite. So people are learning the hard way. But it's funny. So would that work? Like a Hong Kong company getting a Philippine bank account or any non?
It won't work because they would require you to have some kind of registration with the Philippine Securities and Exchange Commission. So that would mean either opening a branch office, which is also a lot of paperwork. And then they would probably say, oh, why do you need the bank account if you're not doing any business in the Philippines? And you wouldn't have that tax exemption that you have because, you know, you'll have money going in and out of the country. So you'll end up paying a little bit of taxes here.
Okay, cool. This is interesting. And so I think a lot of listeners are still, you know, like these hustler, entrepreneur, digital nomads is kind of like the buzzword. And they're working on their laptop from coffee shops, and maybe they're hiring Filipinos or people in other places, you know, like through these online marketplaces like Upwork and others. You know, are they okay? I mean, I think they're doing fine.
Well, they're not the direct employers of the people because it's, you know, it's going through Upwork or freelancer or whatever. So they're not paying anybody directly in the country. And usually they are not full-time employees, right? They just do odd jobs for people or a certain amount. In some cases, yes, people do work full-time. But since there's no direct employee-employer relationship, they're pretty safe. The issues that come up are later on when somebody decides, oh, I don't want to have people working at home anymore and I want to set up a real office. that's when all the fun starts, not only in the incorporation side, but also the employees probably haven't been paying taxes on their income. So now all of a sudden, if there's a company, the company is obligated to withhold taxes on their income, and they're going to say, hey, I'm earning 25, 30% less. So that's when the negotiations start with the employer saying, you got to pay me more because I'm earning less now.
Yeah. I'm wondering what's going to happen with this in the long term, but I think, I guess everybody's going to work, especially in Philippines. I'm noticing a lot of home-based workers, on these marketplaces and everything. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. And then you mentioned it already, but the upkeep you said is like monthly filing. Like I know in mainland China has that, and is that's the main requirement? There's probably yearly upkeep of certificates and other things.
Yeah, the yearly is an audited financial statement to the Bureau of Internal Revenue and income tax return for the corporation. Once you've submitted them into the Bureau of Internal Revenue, you bring copies of the receiving copies to the Securities and Exchange Commission, and you also file with the Securities and Exchange Commission at least once a year or more, depending on what's happening with your company, what they call a general information sheet, which lists the names of the directors, the shareholders, the officers, etc.
Okay, this is so amazing, David. Thank you for sharing. So, of course, I'm sure as listeners interested and want to contact you, and how can they find out more about you and your business?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.dayananconsulting.com. And most of the information I've mentioned during this interview can be found on the website, and anybody's welcome to get in touch with me for more information.
Okay, great. I'll link it up on the show notes, and thanks so much, David.
Welcome.
Thank you, David, for coming on and sharing. I hope you guys enjoyed a little bit of a break from Hong Kong and China. We were in the Philippines, actually. Next week, we're going to have Karsten sharing about Thailand companies. So I am going to kind of diversify a little bit. I love you guys always input for guests or topics. So shoot them over at mike@globalfromasia.com. And this is Asia, right? It's not China or Hong Kong. So we're kind of diversifying a little bit. And for those of you that missed my mentioning on the last show, we're going to have a webinar for the Enter China community that I'm now a part of. And the webinar is going to be two different times on August 3rd and 4th, where you can learn about Chinese factories and manufacturing tips from some experts. And it's, you can sign up and learn more at globalfromasia.com/enter China. All right. And let me get working. We're going to do shows again weekly. So I got amazing interviews, like I mentioned, with Thailand next week, and we're going to do some pretty cool stuff. So thanks for listening all the way to the end, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.